is Jesus really enough? Can he really be all that we need to lead us through this life and into the new world? Obviously, many people say no. Obviously, many people doubt it. If you go into the town and you ask them, why do you work every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, up to Saturday, Sunday? Now, what about seeking the Lord? What about the Word of God? And they'll say, well, I don't have money. I have many problems. I don't have time for those things. I'd like to come. And so they tell you that Jesus is not enough. That if they follow his ways and if they seek him, then it won't work. Many doubted it when Jesus was on the earth as well. Many then said, it's not enough. But here is Jesus' answer. His part of how he showed them. If you have eyes to see the meaning of the sign he did, it's the feeding of the 5,000. So in Luke chapter 9, we start in verses 10 and 11. Here we see his compassion, his kindness. If you remember what had happened, the disciples had gone out to preach. Jesus had sent them to teach those things they'd learnt, to grow stronger, to get some experience. And they'd gone from town to town, preaching the kingdom. In some places, they'd been rejected. Some places, they'd had to wipe the dirt off their shoes. They'd also received some hard news at that time. They'd heard that their friend, John the Baptist, had been put to death. Some of them had been his disciples. But they all loved him. They all loved him because he preached the way of God and he pointed to Jesus. But now Herod had cut his head off. And so it was a hard time, much work and much sorrow. And Jesus knew that now they needed a rest. Have you ever become tired in your service to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or as you faithfully seek to use your opportunities, as you seek to do what you can to bring others to him and to help those who are in need, have you lying down at night and thought, I'm tired, it's been hard work? Does all your effort go in your own things? Yes, our own things need work. Building our own households up needs work. But is that all your effort? Is that all that you do? You only ever get tired in serving yourself and not in serving the King. Well, these disciples were tired and Jesus took them to rest. It says, verse 10, that they withdrew. They stepped back. They went back from the front line to find a place of rest. By themselves, on their own, to a town called Bethsaida, somewhere up the north of the Lake of Galilee. So up there in the north of Israel, somewhere up on the northern side. Some of the manuscripts say that it was a deserted place. Now they're looking for a place of rest. It's not a sin to rest if you've worked. That was God's pattern for the world. 6 days of work, he said. But one day to rest with me, to seek me, to enjoy me, to look back and to look forward together with me. It's not a sin. There are two sins. There's those who never work. Those who never use the life that God has given them. In 50 years of life, they do as much work as another man only needs 10 years to do. They spare themselves, they waste themselves. Only one chance to be fruitful in God's creation. God made the earth for man to labor in for his glory. Only one chance, and then it's gone. Apostle Paul said, I'd love to depart and be with Christ, but whilst I'm here, I can be fruitful. And some people work and they never rest. And we can find them all around. You can go into the town. They're working, working, but they have no rest. They just become weary. They have no peace. They have no chance to consider their ways. They have no chance to seek the Lord and to be refreshed in soul as well as in body. Well, Jesus knew the needs of his disciples, and he said to them, it's time for rest. He knows your needs. He knows your situation. He wasn't a slave driver. God doesn't get out the whip and say, keep working, it's not enough. He knows our needs. Well, on this occasion, it didn't work that way. It didn't happen that way. Verse 11 says, the crowds learned about it. All the people who had been following him and listening to his teaching, they heard where he'd got to and they traveled over to that place. It seems that Jesus and his disciples took a short boat trip along the side of the lake, and the people went round on foot when they heard where he was. We lay our plans and they don't always happen. Now in the gospel we've often seen Jesus knew all things. Jesus knew always what was going to happen. He knew what was next. So surely he knew that the crowds were going to come at this time too. We see later in the verses he knew exactly what to do. So this time he's teaching the disciples that your rest can get interrupted. So you laid your plans, but God had something different. God changes our plans. The crowds came, and it says, verse 11, he welcomed them. He didn't say, now go away, we've planned to rest now. He didn't say, this is not a good time. In Mark, it says he had compassion on them. That means pity. He saw their need. He saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were the children of Israel that God had chosen. And yet their teachers were bad teachers, leading them astray, not feeding them on the truth. And Jesus had pity on them. He saw their eagerness. He saw their hunger to come to him that they had made at this distance to come and hear from him. And so he welcomed them and he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. You have times when someone comes and they need help and it's a bad time. You think, oh, I've been so busy today and yesterday and this month. And, oh, please, come back later. That's what you think. But Jesus had more strength. He drew strength from the Father. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ strengthening me. Don't turn the truly needy person away, but welcome them and God will give you more strength. Are we hungry like the crowds who are hungry? If we hear where Jesus is, are we ready to go there and to seek him and to find him? The crowds, they didn't say, well, let's just wait until he turns up back here again. Let's wait until he's here. No, they went out to seek him. Oh, I wish we could persuade more people to get out of their houses and to come and hear the word of God. Like these crowds were hungry. Well, what did they need? They needed to hear about the kingdom of God, verse 11. He spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed healing. He performed those signs to show them the mercy and the restoring, the healing spiritually that comes in the kingdom. That's what people need to know about, the kingdom of God. God putting the world right again through Jesus. God again, turning people's hearts back to him. God again, turning men, women, boys and girls back to love him and to follow him. All that happens because Jesus came into the world and died on the cross and rose again. That's the kingdom of God. Begins, the Bible says, small as a mustard seed, small as a tiny, tiny seed. But it grows, the Bible says, to become the biggest tree in all the garden. Jesus taught them the way back to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father through me. So he taught them about himself. Are you in the kingdom of God? Have you come back to God through Jesus? Have you turned? Are you now putting life right again through his help? That's the kingdom of God. And now we have it together with weakness and problems and troubles. But one day it'll come in glory and in power. One day every eye will see, and we'll all know him face to face. Jesus welcomes people into the kingdom of God. So we see then in this verse, his compassion, his kindness. To his disciples, he knew their needs. Towards the lost, they were tired, but he taught them and fed them and showed them the way. Jesus welcomes you. He doesn't say, not now. He doesn't say, oh, it's too late. He doesn't say, no, you should have come before. He doesn't say, no, you people are trouble. I know you. But he welcomes them. Well, he taught them. And he taught them and he taught them. And the day went on. And verse 12 says, late in the afternoon. So now it's towards evening. The disciples come and say, well, you better send them away. You know, this is a remote area. There's so many of them. Not going to be able to get food out in a place like this. They need to journey back to the big towns. And they need to find a place to rest for the night. So isn't it time to dismiss them, Jesus? Well, it seems the people were still not thinking that. They were still thinking, I want to learn more from Jesus. They probably were looking at the sky and thinking, yeah, it's getting a bit late, but I want to learn more from Jesus. Oh, how we pray to have people like that. Well, I need to get some food and I got some other things to do, but let me first learn something more from Jesus. Is your heart like that? Well, the disciples, they were thinking that they were tired. But Jesus' reply was very surprising, verse 13. He said, you give them something to eat. Oh, well, you've seen a problem, so why don't you fix it? Whatever does he mean? It's an impossible command. 5,000 men, it says, verse 14. The other Gospels explain that it really does mean just men, that they're also women, they're also children. So perhaps something like, I don't know, 12, 15, so many thousand people. Jesus says to his 12 disciples, why don't you get them something to eat? Some guy say, why don't you get something for Kip Karen to eat? Just go and get it for me, please. And you say, what? Jesus gives a lot of impossible commands. He told these 12 disciples later to disciple the nations. He tells us to disciple Eldoret. Make them followers of him. He tells you to change your heart and to become a new person and to live a different life from the way you lived before. None of these things are possible for us. But what is impossible with man is possible with God. What we can never do, Jesus does by his Spirit. And when you read in the Bible and you think, that is impossible, then next you should think, but it's possible for Jesus. And that's what the disciples should have thought. It's so obviously not doable that their response should be to say, well, Jesus, what are you really planning here? What are you intending to do? They answered, verse 13, we've only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Do you really want us to go and buy food for all these people? Are we going to have to haul it back? Are we going to have to get, you know, a few years' wages from somewhere? Are you really asking us to do that? Seems they didn't really see what Jesus was saying. But when he says something impossible, they should now look at him and say, well, who is this man? And what is he planning to do? When Jesus tells you to do something that's too hard, he's also promising to give you his power to do it. He's also saying, I'll be with you to take you through it. Seems a bit too hard to get from where we are today to changed Kip Karen, a changed pioneer. We can't even persuade people to come. But when Jesus shows us that we cannot, he's also reminding us that he can. If we're faithful and we keep looking to him, he's promising his power as well. The only real question is, do you have faith? Do you actually believe that Jesus can? Do you think that it is possible with him in your life? Not just other people's lives, not just dead people that you read about in books, but in your life today. So that was a challenge to the disciples. It seems they were still weighing it up with these eyes. They were still counting with these fingers. Two fish. That's not very many. Oh dear, five loaves. That's not enough. That's not the way to count when you're in the kingdom of God. You know, oh, two fish, five loaves. But Jesus, what's he planning to do? Let's look at verses 15 to the end, or 14 to the end. Now we see how he provided. He told them to sit, said to the disciples, get them to sit in groups, about 50 each. Now perhaps that's making them remember something that Elisha the prophet once did. Once he once fed the people in a remote place. Jesus is the new Elisha. He's the one with the power of God. Come to rescue Israel when they were far, far from God, backslidden. Come to feed them and to restore them again. Well, he told them to do that, and the disciples did that. They made them sit down. Jesus hasn't yet said what he's going to do. They're still in the dark, but they obey him. They follow out the car, and they have enough faith to do what he's saying, even though he hasn't explained, and it all seems rather impossible. That's what you've got to do. You've got to believe Jesus in the dark. You can't see how you can't see how two steps along is going to be. You can't see the step after this one. But Jesus says, take this one. He took the five loaves and the two fish, and he looked up to heaven. That's the secret, because Jesus is the one who's come from heaven. He's come from the presence of his Father. He's come with the power and glory of heaven. Heaven come down to earth in him. That's the secret. That's how it'd be solved. But it's interesting, he takes what they brought, five loaves and those two fish. He doesn't say, well, obviously we don't need that. Let's just start again. He doesn't just do the miracle out of nothing. He takes what they brought. Small, nothing as it was. He takes what they brought. Jesus takes what you bring. Don't say, oh, well, it's five loaves and two fishes over there, but let's not bother with that. In fact, I'm going to eat that myself, because at least I'll get something to eat. And then just Jesus, you do something out of nothing. No, take what you have. Serve him in the ways you can. Then you'll be surprised what he does with it. You'll be surprised how he adds to it. And that's the lesson. He took it, he gives thanks, he broke it. He gave to his disciples, and they set it before the people. He didn't just do it himself. He gave it to the disciples that they would spread it among the people. And he's really teaching them, when you go out to disciple the nations, when you go out to the ends of the earth to make them my servants, I'll be with you. It looks like you've got nothing. But what you do have in my hands with the heavenly power, as you take it out, it'll grow and grow and there'll be more and more. The disciples saw that picture now, and it helped them surely very much when they went out later, when he said, go and disciple the whole world. Verse 17, they all ate and were satisfied. The disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces. They all ate and were satisfied. Everybody who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, everybody who feeds on him by faith, is satisfied. You won't find a person who says, I trusted in him completely and, deary me, I wish I had something more. You'll only find Christians who say, I wish I trusted him more than I did. But when I trusted in him, he was enough. I didn't need any more. I didn't need to look for anywhere else. Since I began following him, he's kept me. He's brought me back when I've gone the wrong way. He's encouraged and strengthened me when I was weak. He's always been enough. And that's the lesson. 5,000 men and then women and then children come to him. And there's still plenty left over. You can never say, oh, it's too late to come to Jesus. I've missed the opportunity. You can't say, I'm too sinful. I've gone too far. He can't rescue me. You can't say, well, Jesus noticed me. Who am I? I've got nothing. I am nothing. Jesus won't take notice of me. Jesus taught them this as well, that there's plenty and left over for all who come to him. 12 basketfuls. Probably 12, because 12 is the number of the people of God in the Bible. 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles. It's a sign that there's more than enough for all of God's people, and then some left over even for all of them. Never runs out. Just come and taste and see that the Lord is good. So give what you have to Jesus. Your life, your time, your gifts, your energy, your money, your opportunities. Don't say, oh, it's nothing. What's the point? Say, I believe that Jesus can do somehow. I can't see how, but somehow Jesus can do great things with what we bring to him. And in him we'll find more than enough for all of us forever. Question's not, is Jesus enough? The question is, do you believe in him?